This morning, before we get into God's Word, I have a video to show. So let's roll that video, please, Arturo.
All right, in case nobody's told you lately, you're doing a good job. Not just a good job, a great job. But on this Labor Day, on the day when we're offered some rest, just know that what you're doing matters to this world, to this community, to your family. See, the day-to-day jobs of this world, they do the extraordinary work of making a community what it is. Whether you teach or heal or coach or fix, whether you design or write or pastor or manage, serve others, shepherd people. Every single day, we all step into this world and do our thing. What makes everyday life move forward are people just like you. And that is the way God intended it. So, keep doing your quiet, unnoticed, everyday work. One day at a time. Now, go and get some rest.
This weekend is obviously Labor Day weekend, and does anybody actually know what we celebrate on Labor Day weekend? Yes. Celebrating making money from here. Yeah, okay, that's the truth for many of us nowadays, yes. Yeah, we work for wages, right? Which is right. The Bible tells that a worker deserves their wages. But Labor Day is specifically focusing on what? Anybody know? Making pulla? All right, pulla's good. That's a Finnish, like a pastry. Yeah, labor for good pulla. Yeah, we're working to celebrate workers, Labor Day celebrates workers' rights and achievements. Who feels that they've achieved something through their work? Anybody here? Okay. Most of you, it's good. Yes, somewhat, okay. Well, hopefully when we work, we achieve something. But it is true. Work is a gift of God. It is something that is given to us that we should delight in, that we should do. And did you know that the Bible actually talks about work? Yes, God's Word talks about work. We are commanded to work. We are to contribute to society, to humanity, and contribute to the church. Listen to what 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 to 12 says. For even when we were with you, this is Paul writing, Apostle Paul, for even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Yes, we're to work. Work is a blessing. And listen to what 1 Timothy 5:8 says to men, husbands, you are commanded to provide for your wife and children. It says, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Wow. So work is a blessing given to mankind, and there is a reward for it. Psalm 128, verses 1 to 2 said, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands, and you shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. And our work also glorifies our God when we do our work diligently, when we work well, honestly. And people know that we're Christians. That actually brings glory to our Heavenly Father. So work is a blessing from God. And it's something we are called to do. Now I know many of us, we work diligently. We work hard. Who works hard here? Put your hand up. Who works hard? Okay. That's about a third of us. Who works hard here? Okay. That's still about a third of us. All right. No, we work hard, really. We all do work hard. And you could say in our society, people often tend to work too hard. We see unhealthy patterns of workaholism, workaholics in our society. And oftentimes, we overwork ourselves and we burn out. Has anybody actually burnt out? Okay, we have a few of you. It is not a fun thing to happen in your life, and we should try to avoid it. I have almost burnt out, but by Lord's grace, I dodged that bullet. So that's this Sunday. I don't want to so much talk about working hard. I was going to speak on that, but I want to focus on resting, because that is something too often that we overlook and don't prioritize in our lives. You see, the Bible does instruct us to work, but also His Word also instructs us to rest. What does the Bible say about rest? Well, rest is an important theme throughout Scripture. It is spoken throughout the Word of God. From the very beginning, the Bible speaks about the importance of rest. Where in the Bible does God speak about rest first? Anybody know? Creation. Yes, Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 to 3. It says, on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Wow, after 6 days of creation, God working, God looks at what he has made, the work of his hand, and he said, it is very good. And on the seventh day, God calls something holy, and that is the Sabbath. The day of rest, which God places in the time and space of his creation. It is a priority. God himself rested. Holy is a very small word that has a lot of meaning. It means dedicated, sacred, consecrated, hallowed, sanctified, venerated, revered, reverenced, divine, blessed. Holiness is at the very center of God's character. And God gives the day of rest the same attribution of holiness. Do you see the importance God places on rest, on the Sabbath, on us observing the Sabbath? In the modern world, rest has lost its importance. In the modern world, rest is considered the opposite of what? Work, of productivity. And we know that our society, we really like to prioritize being productive. There's hundreds, if not thousands, of books written on being productive and how to get everything out of every second and minute of your day and just to be super productive, like a well-oiled machine. Sound familiar? Our bosses, they want us to be productive. They want us to get the most amount of work done in the shortest amount of time. It's really focused on this. But rest is not so much highlighted as being important. Some people think of rest as something they have to do so that they can regain the energy to work. Who feels like that? That rest is just something you have to do so I can make it through tomorrow. A day of rest has become just a functional necessity to serve our working lives instead of honoring the higher meaning and significance of the Sabbath. In Genesis chapter 2, God works and then rests. Have you ever thought about this? God is omnipotent, meaning he is all-powerful. Does God really need to rest for physical tiredness or exhaustion's sake? God does not need to rest so he can become more productive. He is God. He is all-powerful. But after 6 days, God has already created everything in the universe. He chose to rest, to pause, to stop, relax, to give us a perfect example of what we should do ourselves. At the very beginning, God gives mankind an example to follow, a blueprint, you could say. But men and women often think they know better than God. Have you ever done that in your life? Have you thought that you know better than God? I think we're all guilty of that one. And people choose to ignore God's example of rest. In the Ten Commandments, God made resting on the Sabbath a requirement of the law. A requirement. Listen to Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 10. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God." The command to rest was not and is not an excuse to be lazy, all right? It's not an excuse to be lazy. You work for 6 days, maybe even 5 days. Get to the Sabbath and then rest, and God makes something, a commandment to his people that is vital, important component of our lives. Exodus chapter 31, 16 to 17 says, "The people of God must keep the Sabbath day by observing it from the generation to generation. This is a covenant obligation for all time. It is a permanent sign of my covenant with my people. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he stopped working and was refreshed." The Sabbath is a part of the covenant relationship between God and his people that they are to enjoy. Having a day of rest, keeping the Sabbath, is a way of living out this special relationship that we enjoy with our God. So, church, when we meet together as his church on Sundays, on our Sabbath, we can experience renewal. You are to experience renewal and refreshing and rest, spiritual refreshment, and we can rest in the presence of God. Do you make that a priority as you are driving to church, that you're saying to yourself, your soul, that I'm going to rest in your presence, my Lord, today as I come before you as a congregation of your people? Do you actually think about that? Do you prioritize that in our service as you're worshiping, that you're resting in his presence? It makes a difference. It really does if you come with that mindset, that priority that I'm going to find refreshment and renewal, spiritual renewal today in you, my God. God has given us a Sabbath so that we can step aside from the pressures and demands of everyday life, our working week, and connect with him. That is probably the most important part of our Sabbath. Our rest is connecting with our God. He desires to connect with you. He wants to be with you. He wants you to let him into your heart, into your mind, and to spend time with him. You see, God desires to be in an intimate relationship with you, to know you and for you to know him. And God gives you time for both work and a time to rest to enable you to be the person he has saved you to be. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Amen. The Sabbath gives you the opportunity, not only the opportunity to rest physically, your body, but also to rest spiritually, mentally, emotionally. It's an opportunity to draw near to God. Do you take that time? Will you choose to make time to pause, to stop, relax, and be refreshed in the presence of your Savior? Perhaps you need to learn how to rest and relax. Many of us have trouble doing that. We feel guilty about it. Rest. Maybe you're like me, and I understand the importance of rest, but often I have the problem that I can't rest properly. Who has that problem? Anybody have that problem? You know the importance of rest, but you have trouble resting properly? There always seems to be something I should be doing. Or worse yet, I'm too busy stressing, worrying about something that I cannot find that rest. Take a minute, think about it. Is there something that is overwhelming, stressful in your life that you just can't even find the thought of rest? My mind tends to drift to what I need to do today, tomorrow, next week, the things I have on my to-do list, writing next Sunday's sermon. I need to call a church member or a friend. Gotta update the website. Gotta prep for the next meeting or visit someone. The list goes on and on and on and on. Yet sometimes I can't escape the feeling I'm still not doing enough for Jesus. And we overwork ourselves, thinking we need to earn his love, earn that connection with him. A good day for me is often defined by getting things done on my to-do list, and not by the people I've interacted with or connected with, or the time I've spent with God, not the things I've learned, not if I have rested properly in his presence, just what I've done. What am I really accomplishing by being busy all the time, sweating the small things? If we consider the life of Jesus and how the Gospels record how he spent his days, Jesus never seemed hurried. Though he was bombarded by people with urgent needs, most of the time Jesus was surrounded by crowds of people, and he seems he barely had time enough to breathe. Events happened quickly, one after the other. For example, in Mark chapter 1, verses 21 to 34, Jesus went from preaching in a synagogue to casting out a demon, to healing a sick friend, to ministering to the whole city gathered at his doorstep at sundown. All of that in just one day. And after this packed, exhausting day, we read in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says, "Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray." What was Jesus doing? He was getting into the presence of God, his Father, to rest, to rejuvenate, to be spiritually rejuvenated. Jesus had ministered to others, poured out himself for them. And then Jesus left everyone to draw aside and spend quality time with his Father, with God. And this is a pattern Jesus repeats throughout the Gospels, throughout his life here on earth. In Mark chapter 6, verses 31 to 32, after the death of John the Baptist, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while." He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles, his disciples, didn't have time to eat. So they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. You see, when the disciples were physically and mentally exhausted, too busy to even attend to their own needs, Jesus knew it was time to draw aside and rest. Jesus knew the importance of rest to get into the presence of the Father. Do you? Do we? Jesus understood this important balance, and Jesus ensured there were times of rest in his life. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, Jesus writes these well-known words to many of us who have followed him for a while. We know this very well. Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says, "Come to me." These are the words of Jesus. "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." I like the way the Message translation paraphrases this scripture like this. "Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. You see, Jesus is saying that we don't need to earn our salvation. We don't need to earn his love. It is there, free gift of God, provided through Jesus and the cross. Do you need to learn how to rest in Jesus Christ this morning? Jesus says, I will show you how to take a real rest. Watch how he does it. Learn from him. Learn from the master. And Jesus offers us rest, and he shows us how to do it in his presence. Rest is a necessity, not an optional extra. And rest is actually an act of worship. When we keep the commandments of our God, we are worshiping him. It is not a sign of laziness. Jesus made time for spiritual rest, physical rest, and emotional rest. Spiritual rest. Jesus made time to be alone with God. Jesus knew he needed to hear God's voice, understood God's direction, and rest in his presence. Spiritual rest requires determination. We must ensure we spend time with God. Who has quiet time with God? Reading your Bible, sitting, listening to the Holy Spirit in you, being in his presence, expressing your fears, your doubts, your worries, your prayer requests to him through prayer. Early in the morning, during the day, or late at night, draw aside, make a time, come into the presence of God. Refreshment and renewal comes from time spending with God. God knows your deepest needs. God fills you when you're empty. God knows what is best for you, and you need to be still so you can hear his voice. Physical rest. The Bible tells us that even Jesus, the Son of God, slept. I don't know about you, but I need a solid 7 to 8 hours of sleep. And lately I love late afternoon naps, especially with a baby in the house. Remember when Jesus fell asleep in the boat with the disciples in the midst of a raging storm? When others expected his help, Jesus took a nap. He knew when his body needed physical rest and was unapologetic about taking it. Jesus showed his disciples, and he shows us the importance of physical rest. Perhaps it's having breakfast at the shore at the lake, resting with Jesus. Emotional rest. Jesus knew it was important to withdraw from the crowds for emotional rest. If you're an introvert, you know all about this. Who's an introvert here? Anybody? Okay. Yes, introverts. My fellow introverts, you know, being around people drains you. Being by yourself with the Lord, you get that energy back. My wife is the opposite way around. She energizes around people. It's like, you know, getting her batteries recharged that way. Jesus would move away and leave the crowds of people, even when they were desperately wanting him. In the midst of chaos, when people were demanding his attention, Jesus was clear about what God was calling him to do. Jesus got into a boat with his disciples and went to the other side to be away from the multitudes. So this morning I ask you, do you struggle finding rest? Do you struggle finding rest? Do you allow seemingly urgent needs to drive your activity? Do you let perceived demands and supposed needs determine what you do every hour of the day? Do you allow the urge to people please push you beyond exhaustion? That's a big one, guys. We want to please others. Do you think, if I don't do it, it will not get done? Well, some things are so small that they don't actually matter if they don't get done. Newsflash. They can wait till tomorrow, or even next week, or the next day. The truth is, nothing can hinder God's work. Yeah, amen. Sometimes we think that, man, if I don't do this, God's work's not going to get done. Well, he's God. He's all powerful. Nothing can hinder God's work. If God wants something to happen, it will happen. It will happen. God does not want you to be spiritual, physically, or emotionally exhausted. He doesn't want you to be a burnout wreck. God does not need you to be spiritual, physically, or emotionally exhausted to accomplish his purpose. God not only invites you to rest, God commands you to rest. Remember the Sabbath. Remember to rest. Slow your pace. Enjoy spending time with God. Quit worrying about what's not done. Matthew chapter 6, 31 to 34 says, "Don't worry about these things, saying, 'What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all things and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." I don't know about you, but I need to hear that scripture today, really hear that scripture today. Seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. God calls us, all of us, to fully rest in him, to enjoy spiritual, physical, emotional rest. So let me encourage you to make time for God and take time to rest. You can find rest in God. Rest does not come naturally to some people, but God commands us to rest, and we need to perhaps learn to rest. And when people lack rest, they can suffer in so many ways. To really rest, we need to trust that God is in control. Do you trust that God's in control? Yeah? Amen. We have to trust that God can take care of everything. To trust God that if we take rest, a day off, a Sabbath, our world will not end. Jesus loves you so much that he was willing to leave the place of perfect rest in his kingdom, in his heavenly kingdom, in order to enter into the unrest of this world. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. For us, our ultimate rest is found in Jesus Christ. He invites us, all who are weary and burdened, to come to him and cast their cares on him. Matthew 11:28-29, once again, Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Rest comes when we fully trust God, not just saying we trust him, but actually trusting him. Jesus invites all of us who are restless, anxious, worried, burdened, overwhelmed, or exhausted to come to him. Will you accept this invitation from Jesus today? Will you choose to accept the rest your soul longs for? You see, rest comes when we declare Jesus as Lord and Savior. What does that mean? Jesus is not someone we just read about in the Bible. Jesus is someone who changes us, transforms us. So God is at the center of our thoughts and our lives, and our relationship is restored with our Heavenly Father when the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, because sin is what separates us from the presence of God, and that is removed through Jesus. So true spiritual rest comes through Christ. And I want to close with this. Resting as God rested reminds us that we are created in God's image. The Sabbath is God's invitation to each of us to enjoy time with him, to delight in him, to worship him, to be in his presence. Physical rest and spiritual rest are essential for each and every one of us. God has given you freedom to choose to rest, to be still, to know that he is God. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. His life, death, and resurrection restores our soul and our relationship with God. Because of Jesus, we are able to rest in the presence of God, and by faith, we can know a deep spiritual rest. So when Jesus offers to take your burdens, he means it, church. It's not just empty words written in this book. He means it. Jesus provides a way for you to rest securely in him. He gives us peace, a peace that this world cannot give, a peace that surpasses all understanding, that guards our hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. So I encourage each of us to follow Jesus, draw on his strength to live and to work, and take time to rest spiritually, physically, and emotionally in him. Amen. Let's pray before we come to the communion table this morning. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and we thank you for this commandment, the Sabbath commandment, to rest on the seventh day, to come into your presence, to make it a priority to come into your presence, to worship you, to find spiritual renewal and restoration in your presence through your Son, Jesus Christ, and through the Holy Spirit. Teach us, God, how to rest. Some of us have such struggle to find rest because we're such busybodies, thinking that we need to earn your approval, your love through the work that we do, that we have trouble resting. Many of us want to people please our neighbors, our family members, our friends, our church leaders perhaps, and church members through our work, and which is great. We want to work for your kingdom, for your honor, your glory, to see things move forward. But Lord, we don't want to do that in a way that dishonors you, where we burn out. So Lord, teach us to rest. Teach us to find rest. Teach us to come to you, to prioritize in our lives and not feel guilty about it. Thank you for this word this morning, and help us to live it out. And Lord, I just want to bless every person here this morning, for those particularly who are difficult to find rest. Lord, teach them, teach us, teach myself. And Lord, help us to be examples of how to work healthy and to have healthy rhythms of work and rest in our lives, to disciple others in this area. You're such a good God, and we thank you, Lord, that everything in this word and your truth and your book, the Bible, is for our edification, for our betterment, to live healthy lives, to be emotionally, spiritually, physically healthy, is instructions for us. So thank you, Lord, that we can come to your word to find truths in all areas of our lives. We bless your name. We bless each other in the name of Jesus. Amen.